From time to time, I read in the newspapers the results of some new survey sampling the religious opinions of the American people. Usually, it is reported that around 90% of us American people do believe in God. And I'm sure that if we took the same kind of poll now in this congregation today, the report undoubtedly would be unanimous. My guess, of course, is that everyone here does profess a real faith, a belief in God. But here is the irony. Most of us really do not expect anything to come of that. Even though we do believe in God, we would be very much surprised if we actually found God doing something for us in our lives. Back in the 18th century, there was a school of religious thought called deism. The people who held that kind of faith believed that God created the universe and then wound it up like a giant clock and then withdrew from the scene, leaving everything simply to run out its natural course. The deists, as they were called, believed in an absentee God, or at least an inactive God. Their belief was that God was somewhere out there in the sky, but no longer was involved with his world, that God did not interfere, did not intervene in anything that he had created. And that also this kind of God did not answer prayer, did not even hear prayer. That kind of God, the deists believed in the 18th century, did not encourage anyone in their life, did not empower anyone with his strength. That kind of God, they believed, did not even participate in any way in human life. Or to put it in modern-day athletic language, that kind of God got the game started and then withdrew to the grandstand and simply became a silent spectator. That kind of God, they believed, did not cheer the people, did not jeer, did not do anything with them or for them. Now, most of us, I am sure, would not openly subscribe to that kind of religious faith, although I'm afraid that there still are people influenced by the deism of the 18th century. We people, I do hope, at least do believe in a God, spirit, who does care for us on an hourly basis, who does become involved in our lives on a regular basis. At least that is our theory about our God. But nevertheless, we would be greatly surprised if we actually did find him doing anything for us in our lives. In contrast to that kind of faith, I would point your attention to that one beautiful verse of today's gospel reading when Jesus said, "It was the Lord who did this, and now we find it marvelous to behold." Now that statement of Jesus was not original with him. Jesus was quoting the words from the 118th Psalm, where the ancient Hebrew poet had seen that God did something for the people of Israel. And the psalmist wrote it down. It was the Lord who did this. Centuries later, Jesus had the very same experience as the psalmist. Jesus, now the new prophet, looked back across the history of the Jewish people and saw that the living God in spirit was at work in the events, both good and bad, of the chosen people. And Jesus recognized that it was not a pretty story at all. Time and again, these people had perverted the purpose for which God had chosen them. And so Jesus then decided to compare them to tenant farmers who had refused to pay their rent. These farmers had rejected and then abused the chosen prophets that God had sent to straighten them out. And Jesus said now they were doing the same thing to him. But Jesus said, I'm not discouraged or disillusioned. For the hand of God can be seen in all that is going on. The divine purpose of God will not fail, because God is discovered to be at work in all of this. It was the Lord who did this. And now we do find it marvelous to behold. Now that kind of faith is about the only kind of faith that makes much sense or much difference in our modern life today. Have you ever considered what a contradiction it is to go on believing in God as we do and yet not really expecting concrete, tangible results in our life? We come to church each weekend and proclaim our living faith in God. And yet on Monday morning, we go out to face the real world, but we really, in our heart, do not expect very much. It means that for all practical purposes, we leave God back here at church, assuming that he'll still be here next weekend when we return. And we ask, what kind of a religion is that? It certainly is not the religion of Jesus. It is not the religion of the apostles, or the prophets, or the psalmists, or the saints. To all of these people, our God is a healing power that is always waiting to be released in our lives. Our God is a healing power always waiting to be released in our heart, in our human lives. Those people and we are to think of our God as a doer of deeds, a meeter of needs in our life. That is why today St. Paul pictured our God as a sentry standing guard at the door of our human heart, keeping out all anxiety and allowing this healing peace to dwell within our heart every hour of every day of the week. Now that is the kind of religion that is worth having. And all of us today, I know, could use some of that kind of religion. And it is available. If we do believe in God as we do, And our God has healing power. And he does care about us. Why is it that sometimes we feel we can't have it? Paul today seemed to think that we can have it. His picture of God is presented to us today in the form of a conditional promise. Paul said today, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Present your needs to God in prayer. And then, Paul said, then, after your prayer is presented, then God's own healing peace will stand guard over your hearts and your minds. And Paul, from his own experience of his own life, really did believe that God would do that. That's why he told the Philippians, because God had done that for him. We need to remember that when Paul wrote those words, he already was a very old man, under house arrest in Rome. His life, his ministry work, was almost over. Paul had seen hard times, lots of hard times. The storms had raged around him, but they never were able to get inside. Because, as Paul said, the power of God had stood guard at the door of his heart and has kept his heart and mind at peace. It meant that for Paul, the living God was more than just some kind of intellectual theory to be believed. For Paul, God is a living presence, a healing power to be experienced on a daily basis in our heart. For Paul, faith is not some kind of static belief system. For Paul, faith is a daily discovery. Paul carried that kind of faith around within him, right into the midst of life, every day of the week. And Paul experimented with that faith to see what God would do in his life. That kind of living faith is what is intended to give us people today the kind of courage we need to go on living without illusion. For today, the maxim of illusionary religion states, fear not, trust in God, and he will see that none of the things that you fear will happen to you. That is illusionary. Real religion, the maxim of real religion, on the contrary, is fear not. The things that you are afraid of are quite likely to happen to you. But they are nothing to be afraid of. And that is the point. That real religion is a daily experiment of carrying out our faith into the laboratory of real life. It would help us on Monday to think of ourselves as scientists, remembering that every time you give a scientist a new idea, a new discovery, the first thing that he or she will do with is start looking for ways to use it. Our Lord has given us the greatest idea of all, that our God is like a father, a spirit dwelling in our heart, who knows us better than we know ourselves, that has a love for us that surpasses any kind of human love. What would happen if we did take that idea and experiment with it? if we would carry it into our real life and find ways of using that power of God that desires to overflow, we would end up like Jesus and the ancient psalmist, and then look back at the events of our lives and say, it was indeed the Lord who did all of these things.